past week, me and my five siblings agreed on setting a DNRCC status for my mother at the nursing facility where she's been since October 2007, as a do not resuscitate, comfort care only as needed. So if she has a cardiac arrest or quits breathing, action will not be taken to return her to life. She's 90 years old. My mother has regularly said things like, how much longer do I have to stay here, talking about here on this earth? When can I go and be with your dad? My dad passed away in the year 2000. It may sound a little cold when you set those statuses for your parents, but it makes it a lot easier because both of our parents did not have a huge attachment to life on this earth. My father used to make statements like, I'm ready to try the realities of the unseen world. If I live for another 3 or 4 years, what difference does it make? So they both were ready to leave this life. My mother, as I've talked to several of you, mentioned many times, was a Christian influence in our family who led my father to Christ, and all six of the children that have became Christians are still faithful today. This evening, I want to focus a little bit on how a Christian should view facing death and how all people should be prepared for death. I hesitate to quote outside of the Bible for things, but I had a quote from Spurgeon that I wanted to quote. It says, speaking of those who are Christians, never fear dying, beloved. Dying is the last, but the least matter that a Christian has to be anxious about. Repeating that, never fear dying, beloved. Dying is the last, but the least matter that a Christian has to be anxious about. There are numerous scriptures in the Bible concerning end of life on this earth, and the continuation of our life spiritually, whether eternal bliss or eternal punishment. I'm going to read 10 verses from 2 Corinthians 5, and it summarizes a lot of the information that I want to present. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 10. For we know that the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to be put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. We must all bear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what he is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or bad. So the scripture is made as our life on this earth is like living in a tent, and eventually that tent as a temporary structure, and it's going to come apart. And that's what our life here is like, our physical body. So we're looking, the home they refer to is not here, but our home in heaven. So when we're on this earth, we're away from God and Christ in the sense of being in their presence. So we're looking forward to that time when we give up this temporary dwelling place, the tent that we're living in, our physical body, and take on the same nature as Christ with his glorious body. But he says it's not going to be an automatic thing that everybody's going to be there in that sort of position because we're going to be judged, everyone according to what you've done, whether it's good or bad. So there's a criteria that's going to set where we're going to be. So we as Christians should be looking from moving from a tent that's out in the yard to moving into the mansion that's setting in heaven. So the comparison between the two lives should be an easy desire to want to move on. Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 24 says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am able to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for you. Yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Very familiar scripture. Paul is telling about a dilemma he has. He's writing to the Philippians, telling them that I have a desire. What's best for me, what I'd like to do, is go to heaven and be with God, but it's more needful for you that I stay here and continue to teach you and prepare you for that. So Paul already made up his mind where he wanted to be. He didn't have a desire to stay here because of his own wishes, but for other people. Brother Clarence Wheeler, most of you here know Clarence, if you hadn't, he was a faithful member here for years and a faithful elder for years. When he found out he had cancer on a Sunday morning, he and I were teaching classes down in the basement on opposite sides of the hall, and I walked over to talk to him about his diagnosis. And he told me about the feelings he had regarding it, but he said one of his feelings, and I think I quote this pretty much correct, he said, "This may be how I am able to leave this life and receive my reward." And that's a tremendous attitude for us to have as well, that we're looking forward to that time. We know it's going to come, and be prepared for that time. How does God view us leaving this life? Psalms 116, verse 15 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." And that sounds a little strange that we think it's precious that someone passes away. But in God's sight, for those who are faithful Christians, for us to leave this life is a favorable thing because we're going on to our reward. 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 through 8 reads, "Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. While bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every situation, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." So Paul's telling Timothy, yeah, you can get some exercise physically, but focus on godliness, living your life like God would want you to live, and has promise in the life that you're now living. It benefits us while we're living here on this earth, and also has promise, more importantly, of eternal life, the life to come. In Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about God's not ashamed to be called our God, for he has prepared for us a city. In that chapter 11, talking about those of faith, they were looking for a city that had a foundation whose builder and maker was God. He said if they desired to go back to where they came from, they could have gone, but that wasn't what they were looking for. They were looking for a heavenly city, and that city was available to them, and it is to us as well. And God is not ashamed to be called our God, nor was he ashamed to be called their God, but he's prepared a city, a place for us. I've all heard heaven described as a prepared place for a prepared people, and I think that is a good description. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, be like his glorious body by the power that enabled him even to subject all things to himself." So, as we describe a relationship with God and with Christ, is that we usually say that we're a Christian, and that means a lot of things to a lot of different people, but we're a child of God, we're a citizen of his kingdom. Another thought I had about Clarence, he used to stand up here by the baptistry, and when someone was baptized, he'd say, "You're now a child of God and a citizen of his kingdom." I heard Brother Lowell say that since he's been here when someone's baptized, and we're a child of God, and we're citizens of his kingdom. We may be pleased because we're citizens of the United States, but much, much more important is our citizenship in heaven. Another quote, he says, there's an essential difference between the decease of the godly and the decease of the ungodly. Death comes to the ungodly man as a penal infliction, but to the righteous as a summons to his father's mansion. To the sinner, it is an execution; to the saint, an undressing from his sins and infirmities. Death to the wicked is the king of terrors. Death to the saint is the end of terrors, the commencement of glory. This evening, if you're a child of God, a citizen of his kingdom, a faithful Christian, you're to be commended. And that's how we're going to get into heaven, by doing the things here that are godly and following Christ. But you may not be a child of God. You may have never admitted the need you have for a Savior and been obedient to the gospel. By believing in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the only way to salvation, repenting of our sins, being willing to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and being baptized for remission of our sins and being faithful, remainder of our lives. And that's what you need to do if you haven't done that. If you are a Christian, have been unfaithful, this evening would be a great time to restore your walk with Christ and live like you should be in following him as a child of God, as a citizen of his kingdom. If you're here this evening, we can assist you in any way. Please come forward as we stand and sing.
Kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there. He intercedes for you. Lift up your voice, leave with him your care, and begin life anew. Kneel at the cross. Leave
Dismiss your glasses.